app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Washington, where federal agencies will be open for business at least into mid-January. Correspondent Tom Foti has our top story.
Late Wednesday night and following the House, the Senate passed a short-term spending extension with strong bipartisan support. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I am pleased that Speaker Johnson realized he needed Democratic votes to avoid a shutdown.
This bill keeps all government agencies funded into January, some a month later, which has doubters like Democrat Patty Murray.
I do not care for this idea of two funding deadlines and double the shutdown risk.
In their first face-to-face meeting in a year, President Biden and China's Xi Jinping agreed to resume military communications. And Mr. Biden says she agreed to crack down on a key ingredient used to make the deadly drug fentanyl.
We're taking action to significantly reduce the flow of precursor chemicals and pill presses from China to the Western Hemisphere. It's going to save lives, and I appreciate President Xi's commitment.
A first in the Israel-Hamas war. Correspondent Doug Williams reports from Tel Aviv.
Israel's military released video claiming to show weapons belonging to Hamas militants inside Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. Defense forces say they are still operating inside Gaza City's largest hospital after launching what they call a precise and targeted operation there yesterday.
Hospitals are not battlegrounds.
The head of the World Health Organization said the operation was totally unacceptable.
They're swamped in parts of South Florida. An intense storm has turned streets into rivers in places like North Hollywood and Miami.
I can't drive here. There's too much water. It's crazy.
We hope for a lot of sunshine and sunny days at the beach. And this is not expected.
Schools are closed today in Broward County. The forecast calls for scattered thunderstorms in Chica Boca, Florida, tomorrow, where SpaceX hopes to try for a second time to launch its next-generation Starship and heavy-lift rocket. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
SpaceX has to put together a healthy string of successful test flights before NASA will put any astronauts on board.
The first time, the rocket exploded mid-air, 4 minutes after liftoff. The two-hour launch window tomorrow opens at 8 a.m. Eastern. After a warning letter from the FDA, Amazon has agreed to stop selling 7 different types of eye drops. None had been approved for sale in the U.S., nor recognized as safe and effective. They claim to help with problems like pink eye, dry eyes, eye strain, and floaters. In a statement, Amazon says safety is a top priority. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits. Texting and holding.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a run on new opportunities for high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin. The state has $42 million worth of grants to give out, but the number of applications it got asked for more than 221 million. More than 251,000 locations in Wisconsin still lack service, and about as many have internet that's below current standards. The Public Service Commission will now start poring over the applications. People who help their older and disabled loved ones at home for no money are asking for help from the state of Wisconsin. Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin.
Each year, Wisconsin's unpaid family caregivers provide about 538 million hours of care to their parents, spouses, and partners, and they do it for no pay.
A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work with caregivers to make sure they're getting what they need. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Jordan Love says the Packers are getting better. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice, although the team has lost 4 of their last 5 games. Quarterback Jordan Love says the offense is getting better thanks to receivers like rookie Jaden Reed.
He's not thinking. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he needs to get to and doing some good things after the catch.
The Packers host the Chargers on Sunday. The WIAA State High School Football Championships are today and tomorrow at Camp Randall in Madison. Divisions 4 through 7 today, 1 through 3 tomorrow. Baseball, the Brewers introducing Pat Murphy as the new manager. Players like Christian Yelich supporting the hire. NBA, the last time the Bucks played in Toronto, they got blown out. Last night, they returned the favor with a 128-112 victory over the Raptors, and they did it with Giannis out with a sore calf muscle. Damian Lillard led Milwaukee with 37 points. The Bucks' Brooke Lopez.
You know, he did a great job leading us offensively, making sure everyone was in their spots, getting people involved, being himself.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's going to be warmer, but it's also going to be windy today. Partly to mostly cloudy, up to 65 this afternoon. The wind southwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 40 or 45 here throughout the day. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Quite a bit cooler, 40. We'll be back into the upper 40s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap, UK. UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, November 16th. It's another beautiful day up north. Nice to have you here from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app by podcast or a live video feed on social media. I got a question for you. Christmas or holiday cards, whatever you send out, do you use still the traditional cards that you sign and stick in an envelope? Or do you now get photo cards from the big retailers like Shutterfly and Snapfish and Walmart, etc.? And however you do it, do you include a letter or do you just sign it? Or do you not even sign it anymore because it's just a photo that goes in the envelope? It's time to make some decisions, people, because we are now in the second half of November. And time to start thinking about the holidays. So we'll talk about that question in a bit. A couple of other things that are on tap this morning. There might not be a government shutdown this week, but far-right members of Congress are not among those who are happy about it. Instead, they're asking each other to name one thing they've accomplished this year. And frankly, something similar could be said about the legislature, where a popular project for the UW College of Engineering remains stuck in a political quagmire. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki about that. Hometown Health in our second hour. Some doctors are very concerned about the childhood vaccination rates in Wisconsin, that the state's exemption standards are too lax to ensure public health won't be affected by a larger non-immunized population. And so we will look at how people playing politics with health care are jeopardizing all of us. We've got a forecast that's warm and windy as the day goes on, but then it's going to get cool in a hurry by tomorrow. Meteorologist Jennifer Huchitsky from Weatherology will tell us more about that. And along the way, you can add your input at 844-967-2789. Call it or text us. Use the Civic Media app. Email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching the show on the Civic Media Facebook page or the Up North News Facebook page, put a comment there. We'll see it and maybe put it up on screen as well. 6 a.m. temperatures on this Thursday. Everybody's in the, not everybody's in the 40s. There's a little fluctuation here, but it's a pretty consistent range. 47 here on Lake Wissota and 47 in Hayward, 46 in Park Falls. Wausau at 43, Green Bay 39. Oshkosh is 43 right now. La Crosse reporting 50. Wisconsin Rapids 48, Madison 44, and Waukesha 43. And again, warm and the wind's picking up today, but then a cool down for the weekend is on the way. So 43 in Waukesha, that's where we find one Greg Bach, who, in honor of you, because I see our Thursdays are sometimes a little rough. You know, they kind of get started. So I'm not waiting till Friday. I've got the Roy Kent mug out right away on this Thursday.
Oh, I love Roy Kent.
Oh, I do too, and that's really all we can say. We can't say any of the other things
pretty
that
much
he says.
Goes is to bleep out and dump out.
If you're still not a Ted Lasso watcher,
why not?
I know the series, and I say this for good reason. Here's the reason. I was one of those people that had to come back to it. Like, honestly, a third time. Like, the first two times I was like, eh, this is goofy. I don't know. And people said, no, stick with it. And then I realized these same people got me off the schneid when I was slow to embrace Schitt's Creek. And
which
again,
we can
restarted,
say. Which we can which say.
We can say that. It's a TV show, people. And then we ended up loving it. And Ted Lasso was the same way. And the Roy Kent character is just truly what makes it, especially in that first season. So the Roy Kent mug is out in honor of Thursday being a little rough sometimes. I think for me, in part, it was because I'm realizing we're in the second half of November. So, Mr. Bach, where are you on your Christmas holiday cards? Do you send them at all? And what kind of format do they take?
We don't send them at all. Every year I want to send them, but I don't. We don't. But I would like to do that.
I feel like I stepped into a case of the newlywed game here. I didn't mean to pry on private home decisions.
Oh, no.
But tell us more about why your wife hates the holidays, Greg. Go ahead. We're
She hates Christmas. She's all about the holidays. She doesn't say Merry Christmas. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know why I do Southern. That's so rude.
On top of that, you already stepped on our next topic. It's Red Cup Day for Starbucks. And remember how they get in trouble every year because they don't say Christmas on the cups. They got bigger issues to worry about today. So many of their workers, the union ones are on strike. The non-union ones have walked out today. If you're planning on Starbucks today, folks, plan on a wait.
Oh, because thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, well, same issue as other places like Walgreens, CVS. People are tired of being understaffed and overworked. And so they're protesting that today.
Yeah,
get back to that later. I've gotten ahead of myself. So the cards do not go out. If you had your druthers, how do I keep coming up with these old man words? But if you did have those druthers, what would your preference be?
I say we don't send out the holiday cards, and that really sticks in my craw.
I'll see here.
I would honestly, I think, yeah, I would. I see. Here's what I do. There'd be two versions. There'd be one that we just send a basic Christmas card out to. Mm-hmm. And then for like certain family members, write a little letter. You know, this is what we did this year. This is what's going on. Not everyone gets a letter because not everyone cares, you know.
Yep.
But I know, you know, in my head, I want to hand write them. So I'd only do like 10 or 15 of them.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, we will get to it because we just bought a house last year. And I'm like, well, now we have a house. Like, by the way, listening public, everyone, especially you folks in Chippewa Falls, this isn't my wife like dive bombing the idea. It's we talk about it every year, like let's do it, and then we're like, bleep.
And so just time gets in the way and everything
absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely.
Text from Waukesha says, "How did we go right from Halloween to New Year's Day? Honestly, it's both a slog and a sprint at the same time." This particular season here, we used to do a letter, especially when you're raising kids, you wanted the kids are doing this and the kids are doing that, and we realized that other couples once they became empty nesters and we were the same way. It's like, well, we could talk about our kids and grandkids, but that's their letter, that's their card. Yeah. You know, what are we going to do? We came home last night and we played cribbage, and then the next night. We came home and we played cribbage. And the next night, we came home and we watched a movie. There's our year, folks. So,
are you guys good cribbage players?
I don't know if we're good, but we've played like thousands of games over the years, it feels like.
Yeah.
So we've never like tested that against other people. In fact, wouldn't it be great if Sherry and I did finally start going like into like these little local tournaments or whatever, only to find out we'd been playing it wrong all these years, that we had like Calvin ball rules or something like that. But no, we...
You count 15, not 16. Who taught you this?
Right. So we got people thinking about their cards one way or another, and we would love to know your own feedback at 844-967-2789. And do you have any novel, suggestions that way? Maybe
instead of, you know, the big retailers like Shutterfly and Walmart or whatnot? Maybe there's, do you use a local place, a local photo processor or something like that, that you want to give somebody an idea to? I know that we're getting set probably to use Shutterfly again, because it's easy to throw, you know, six photos on a card with all the kids and grandkids, you know, and then, you know, stamp at the Kreitlows, and it feels terribly impersonal. But like you said, you got so much to do during the season, right? Yeah,
it's,
you
know, just check my blog.
Check my blog. Well, that's the other thing. Is like the letter used to be great because you wouldn't hear from anybody all year long, and they go, "Oh, it's so nice to catch up." Now you see every day. I had avocado toast today, and the dog had a regular movement, and you know, I see more of a letter every day. I don't need the year-end thing necessarily.
I'll just make a Christmas card, and on one side it'll be me, Bridget, and myself, and the other side it'll just be my top 30 tweets. Just,
oh, I like that. Yes, top 30 tweets.
You're caught up.
Especially the ones that are rather vague, like, how could that happen? Yeah. You know, because you're watching a Packer game or something, and nobody has any context whatsoever. So we'll take your ideas on that. Over on Up North News on the social media site, on Facebook, for example, you'll see Up North News stories about Governor Evers proposing some changes that will ease lockdowns and improve conditions at prisons in Wisconsin. Also, several options for supporting Wisconsin farmers at your Thanksgiving table. So head to upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi, search for that on Facebook to find some of what we're putting. And over on the website, you can get our daily newsletter, click newsletter in the top banner. And as far as this radio version of Up North News, if you can't catch us live every morning, catch us as a podcast. Head to your favorite Apple, Spotify, what have you, and take care of business that way or through the Civic Media website. What do we have here from Michael Seal on Facebook? We make our own cards with a short letter printed inside. The outside is public domain images, and it is sent to everyone on our list. I like that. I don't know that I necessarily have the time or the skill for that, but you know, it's definitely something worth looking into. Let's start with Congress here as we unpack the news, and right-wing Republicans who are really not happy with their new Speaker of the House. Here is an audio clip from Texas Congressman Chip Roy, one of the most extreme members of Congress, and he's kind of oversharing how he's feeling right now about what Republicans have done since they took control of the House.
One thing. I want my Republican colleagues to give me one thing, one, that I can go campaign on and say we did. One. Anybody sitting in the complex, if you want to come down to the floor and come explain to me one material, meaningful, significant thing the Republican majority has done besides, well, I guess it's not as bad as the Democrats.
There's Congressman Chip Roy from Texas. And don't think for a moment that Democrats aren't going to play that one on a loop all throughout the 2024 campaign. Because again, yes, there was a stopgap measure that prevented having a crisis over the holiday weekend, but they only did kick the can down a couple of months. There's still plenty of time for the far right to shut down the government. But as of yesterday, old Chip there and 18 other extremists were still having such a hissy fit, they blocked consideration of one of the interim spending bills just to make a point to Speaker Mike Johnson that he's got to do one of two things, either be true to his right-wing tribe or grind the U.S. government to a halt, or he could be a national leader, negotiate fairly with the Senate, and get some things done that both parties can point to as accomplishments, but then his right wing will abandon him. Do you feel the earth moving under your feet yesterday? We'll answer that question coming up in just a moment here. But again, a reminder, head over to upnorthnewswi.com to see more of what we do. Sign up for our newsletter and maybe pick up t-shirts and tote bags as well. Back in just a little over 30 seconds, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this morning, when you're here, you're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
me. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure. But why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. K.
Still ahead, Joseph Pecky, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Hometown Health on this Thursday morning. Turns out there was a magnitude 3.6 earthquake that rattled northern Illinois and parts of Wisconsin and Iowa as well on early Wednesday. That's according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The quake was detected yesterday about 4:41 in the morning, centered about 100 miles southwest of downtown Chicago. Greg, I don't know that you're close enough. That was there any chatter at all? Did anybody felt anything untoward down there early yesterday morning?
Oh, first of all, great use of the word untoward.
I'm an old man.
No, I know. I'm never going to criticize you for using great phrases and or words.
Well, it was the one I used yesterday that you said I used properly.
Myriad.
You'll myriad, yes.
Yeah, I hear so many people say use myriad incorrectly, and it just, like, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
I'll always be your little word nerd, Greg. Did you feel the earth move?
I didn't. No, I didn't. So we live in Kenosha, so we're just in southern Wisconsin. And when you said three, I was like, oh, I mean, I know that everyone's speaking at like 1 or 1.5, and it's not that big of a deal, but for Wisconsin, 3 I feel like is huge.
Yeah, it was 3 miles below the Earth's surface, and folks in some of those parts of those states and Northwest Indiana as well, some people said that they felt it. The thing is, we had Christina Lurie on about 3 weeks ago, because she had put a story in our daily newsletter about how small earthquakes do happen around Wisconsin. So in a Journal Sentinel story, there's a note about there was a mini quake below Waupaca County in 2012, and there was in 1968 a 5.3 in the central part of the U.S. that was felt in Wisconsin, and an even larger one shook the region in 1947. So they're not impossible to have.
Yeah.
They're very rare. But, you know, it's one of those things. Someday you just might feel. It's one of those things we say to our friends from other coasts. They say, why do you stay there in the winter? Because, you know, we can put up. We know the snowstorm is coming.
Yeah.
We know severe weather is coming. You don't know when the earth is going to start shaking.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
My sister-in-law used to live in Los Angeles, and I was staying there once. And there it was minor, like 4 or 5. It wasn't that big of a deal to them. But I woke up and just shaking. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, it's a little earthquake. I'm like, no, don't say little. That's like saying I had a mild heart attack. The earth shifted. Can we be honest?
Small nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
It's just a small one. It's fine. The thing I think people don't appreciate when it comes to earthquakes and what the earth is capable of doing. One of my favorite writers is Bill Bryson. And one of my favorite books from him isn't one of the usual travel books. It's one called A Short History of Nearly Everything. And in it, he talks about the Yellowstone caldera. Because basically, Yellowstone is sitting on, as he puts it, a vast bowl of unstable magma. And again, that's one of those words you can say on the radio, even though it sounds like you shouldn't, but magma is okay.
Magma.
There are about 30 of these huge areas of unstable magma around the world. All of them except one, however, are underneath the ocean's crust. That one would be Yellowstone. The volcano there first erupted 16 million years ago. It's blown about 100 times since. And they say if Yellowstone were to erupt again, the ash would have enormous consequences for the climate and human populations. Bryson points out another eruption is quite possible as the Yellowstone supervolcano is active and overdue. And the first time I read all of that, my daughter lives like, you know, a stone's throw from Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is awful. Then I realized if that thing blows the way they say it's going to blow, she won't even know. The rest of us are going to be screwed if that thing were to ever have something that epic. But it's, you know, what happened yesterday was a good reminder that, again, always bet on nature. Yeah, points.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Nature mm-hmm. will always win.
Yes, nature is undefeated.
Yep, absolutely.
in whatever form that it might take. Let's see, Tommy here writes in, relocated from California, they're not so bad.
Okay.
All right, Tommy.
Was it Tommy or Tammy?
Again, it's Thursday. I can't see up. By Thursday, my contacts are shut.
Tammy Winkleplek, who used to live in California.
Mm-hmm.
Deserves to have the Pat. Come on, you're a word nerd.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
word nerd. I love the words. The eyesight sometimes
I
not
love
so
the
much.
Words. I did see this, and I wish I had
best words.
More information. But there was an earthquake. There was a volcano that went off in Japan, and it formed an island. Mm-hmm. It was underwater, and it just started like basically creating an island. I'm like, that's amazing. I love nature.
I know. Well, a lot of them are that way. That's how we get all of our best islands, you know, through a little activity that way. A quick turn on sports before we hear from Joe Zepecki. And I'm going to ask Joe Zepecki about this as well. But Greg, Pat Murphy is manager. Any thoughts up or down on there?
So I have some good – I want to keep some good thoughts. I think what's good about it is that, you know, he worked under Craig Counsell, so he knows Craig's methods on the team. So he doesn't just come in cold. I think there's some good stuff there. I don't know how much fire and energy you have. Once again, listening public, I'm just saying he's an older gent with a 3-year contract. I don't know how much he wants to put into this. Mm-hmm. I hope he wants a ring. But we had Mike Clemens on yesterday, and he felt like this is just it's not the best move for the Brewers. But I also think if you bring in a brand new person, then we're almost guaranteed we're not going anywhere for like 4 or 5 years.
Is he the interim though? Is he the interim for the real future of the Brewers, which is the new associate manager, Ricky Weeks?
Well, that's the thing is Ricky Weeks has shot up through the ranks, and that was like mm-hmm. he's associate manager. I mean, that's amazing. And
he's the assistant to the manager? How does that work? No, assistant manager.
He's the assistant to the regional manager. the problem I have is that, you know, is this just a move to make people buy tickets to see Ricky Weeks? Because, you know, what does he bring exactly? And I'm not saying that like he's no good. I'm just, you know, I don't know. We're all curious. Yes, exactly. It'll be interesting to see where the Brewers are, honestly, in like 5 years' time.
Yes, but the same could be said about the Packers and mm-hmm. about Badger football. I think we have entered. You've heard of the transfer portal?
Yeah.
We're in the transition portal. We don't know where this comes out the other side, but theoretically, this could be, you know, the start of some good things for maybe at least one of these teams. At least you hope so. Let's hope so. Coming up an hour from now, Jimmy Koska is going to be here, and we will talk about the state high school football championships. They get started today over at Camp Randall. You have more sports coming up in a bit, though. I will say Damian Lillard had 37 points as the Bucks beat Toronto 118-112. They play tomorrow night at Charlotte, Saturday at home against Dallas, and you can catch the Bucks all across the Civic Media Radio Network, including Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Erin Amory, News from the Center in Richland Center, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine. Let's see, the Marquette women's basketball team was in action last night, and they won at Ooey Pooey. We can't let that one go without one more reference. They will next play Sunday afternoon at home against St. Peter's. So when we come back, Joe Zepecki, we've not touched much on state politics because a lot has happened in the legislature a couple days back, and we wanted to go through it all with Joe Zepecki. So we'll have that conversation in just a sec. Again, this is Up North News Radio. Nice to have you here for a Thursday morning.
The Tap.
CBS News Brief. We begin with high-stakes negotiations overseas. CBS News has learned of a possible deal in the works between Israel and Hamas that could lead to the release of some of the hostages being held in Gaza. It would include Israel agreeing to a 3 to 5 day pause in fighting. And Israel's military has released video of what it claims are Hamas weapons found at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza. Word came late last night on Capitol Hill.
I have good news for the American people. This Friday night, there will be no government shutdown.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, after lawmakers voted 87 to 11 to approve a temporary funding package. Presidents Biden and Xi held their first face-to-face meeting in a year and agreed to reopen military communications between the U.S. and China. Expert Jack Werner warns.
It still remains the case that there are these deep structural problems.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells for months because of safety worries and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved out. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. More young people are taking part in Wisconsin's registered apprenticeship program than ever before. The paid training program combines on-the-job learning and education from technical colleges and private training centers. More than 16,000 apprentices are taking part. That's the highest number in the program's 112 years. Workforce development officials say the program is a way to bring job seekers and employers together. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights, at least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC telling us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's going to be warmer, but it's also going to be windy today. Partly to mostly cloudy, up to 65 this afternoon. The wind southwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 40 or 45 here throughout the day. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Quite a bit cooler, 40. We'll be back into the upper 40s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
It's a Thursday morning. It's Joseph Peck. He is here. He is fired up, ready to go. I could just tell from the moment I turned the camera on. And Joe, how are you? He's fired up.
Fired up and ready to go. Yeah. Okay. It's one of those weeks.
Okay. I'm not sure where to begin on all this. I, again, glass half empty, half full. Let's go with that theme of bipartisanship, if that's what you want to call it, on both the stadium bill and the overhaul of alcohol laws. And I wanted to know, should we read anything into this about how the legislature is handling or should handle issues down the road? Or is this just one of those things that reminds us every so often that, you know, not everything cuts neatly down party lines and, you know, these things just happen to be noteworthy? What'd you think of the outbreak of alleged bipartisanship?
I thought it was nice. I do think it's nice. I also think it's a little demonstrative of just how ridiculous our politics are, because you and I know, Pat, like what the percentages are, what range they are in of bills that actually pass a legislature and get signed into law that have bipartisan support, which is to say at least one member of each party supporting them. It's almost all of them, right? Okay. That's your experience in the legislature. It's almost all of them.
Yeah.
But the share of volume goes entirely to the stuff that only one party supports and the other party opposes. So one of the things I'm fired up about this week is the media and their role, traditional media, in perpetuating the fault lines in our politics and in our society and in our culture and in our communities. Because most things, people of good faith can find some areas of agreement on, find some areas of disagreement on, work together and find a way forward. That is what we saw this week. Listen, I haven't exactly made secret the notion that we're giving, you know, state tax dollars to professional sports franchises is pretty infuriating to me. And I'm a huge sports fan. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the state has a role to play in economic development. But this one, it just strikes me as it's tough. But I can also put on a perspective and say this was a better deal when it was done for taxpayers than what the Brewers initially proposed. There is some value to this in keeping the franchise here for at least another 20 years. If we can use this as leverage to foster even more economic development around the stadium, that would be a good thing. I can find the positives in a deal, even if it was one that I was inclined not to like from jump. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the three-tier system in this state governing alcohol sale and distribution, and you know, this was a long time coming. And when you've got everybody from Molson Coors, you know, a international, like one of the biggies, Quick Trip, which has become very big, but started out as like a very small, you know, local Wisconsin business that is a distributor, and New Glarus, which is only in Wisconsin, and all of the different interest groups who are involved in this for years and years and years to get to three-tier system reform, there shouldn't be much controversy if folks say this is an update and a modernization of the system. And yet when you read the coverage, it's all about wedding barns. And I'm not suggesting that if you own a wedding barn, you may not be like hacked off today, but also you can probably figure out a way to spend the couple of $100 to go get the license you need to in a way that is now consistent with a law that both Republicans and Democrats thought was a good idea. So why is like 80% of the conversation in the coverage about the small number of wedding barn owners crying foul and not about the years long process from all of the stakeholders to get to a good solution? And the answer is it doesn't make for good content. There's not enough fighting in it. And it is that approach that leads to the nonsense that we saw on Tuesday in Washington, D.C., where you've got a kidney punch from Kevin McCarthy. You've got Senator Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma standing up and threatening to fight a Teamster official in a Senate committee hearing. And frankly, Tuesday night, we all saw a brawl in an NBA game. We got to stop fighting and use our words, Pat. That's one of the things that has me fired up, even 2 days later.
You know what really has people fired up about the alcohol bill was the process of it. And again, this is one of those shows where we're going to go into the weeds on this because I find it curious. I think maybe the average listener would too once we explain it. So this alcohol overhaul, which you said was years and years in the making, it had passed the assembly some time ago, a couple months ago now, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And it was bottled up in the Senate because it went to a committee. The committee chair did not like the bill, so he didn't bring it up for a vote in committee. So the Republican majority leader, Devin LeMahieu, kind of had to do an end run to get the bill attached to a different bill. My question to you is, as a fellow, you know, insider, what good is a committee chair if you can't use the power of the chair to bottle up the bills that you don't like? And should that committee chair step down if his majority leader is just going to end run him like that?
Well, let's back up and just add the context that it passed the assembly like 90-4 or something. I mean, it was like this was not like a 50-49 vote. And then the committee chair was like, well, this is really complicated. It'd be really hard to get to yes and get to a workable majority. So we're just going to take our time, let some of the air out, you know, the steam out of the kettle. No, it's one person. And what I will say is I am glad to see that there are mechanisms in place in a system of checks and balances that if the overwhelming majority of a legislative body wants to see something happen, they can find a way to make it happen.
Excuse me, I have to sneeze for a second here. Tommy Tuberville.
Right, okay, right, because the inverse of this is when one single United States senator can hold up 300 senior military promotions and put a hold on things, and it grinds government to a halt. That is not good for anyone. And so I have no problem with the, you know, LeMahieu using the machinations of Robert's Rules of Orders and the rules of the Senate to get this thing done. Sometimes that's what you have to do. Sometimes the system has to guard against one single person trying to just stand athwart history and progress and yell stop.
Yes, and I'm being a bit hyperbolic about the committee chair stepping down because, frankly, he gets to save face, to say, look, I stuck to my principles on this, and the majority leader found another way to get it done. Nobody twisted my arm. So in that way, yes, the process worked as it basically is supposed to. One thing that continues to be bottled up in the state capitol that so many people want is the expanded and new school or college of engineering building on the UW-Madison campus. And so Kelly Meyerhofer over at the Journal Sentinel did a great attempt, emphasis on attempt and no fault to her, to get all 132 legislators on the record as far as why is this popular project still being bottled up? What was your takeaway from the responses and the non-responses?
First of all, this is great reporting by Kelly. And if you read one thing this week that is not published by UpNorthNewsWI.com, make it this story in the Journal Sentinel. Because I'd like to see more of this on more issues, but this one is such a no-brainer slam dunk. When you have the business community and the university in alignment in saying, we need a new engineering building. We don't need it because we want a new fancy building. We need it because the state's employers need engineers. There is a shortage, and the kids we are losing out on are not going to smaller UW schools. They are going to other Big Ten schools. And these engineering jobs that start at an average of like $75,000 a year are really good jobs. This is, you know, $300 million for a building, not all of which is going to be paid by the state because there's more than $100 million in private donations. But like, it's the state's flagship university. We need the engineers. WMC is behind it. If WMC can't get this done, what the hell is the point of WMC? And for Republican legislators who are willing to go on the record to say we're holding this hostage because we don't like some other policy that the University of Wisconsin is doing, and for the vast majority of Republicans to bury their head in the sand and refuse to engage or answer is such cowardice in public office. It is grounds on its own, in my view, for them to be voted out of office. I don't care if I agree with you on 99 issues out of 100. If you cannot answer a question about where you stand on something this central to economic development and the workforce, which all of these Republicans are crying about, say nobody wants to work anymore. These are good jobs. These are good paying jobs. And they're standing in the way because of a few DEI policies that 100% of them can't even tell you what that means. It's the same nonsense as like what's happening in Wauwatosa, where everybody is freaking out on the right about this email that somebody sent, kindly requesting some thoughtfulness when it comes to holiday decorations. Not a mandate, not a thou shalt not, not a don't say snowman, say snow people, but just asking for a little kindness. Mm-hmm. For a little understanding that not everyone is of the Christian faith. And it is this rush to demonize and radicalize diversity, equity, and inclusion. There is nothing wrong inherently with any of those ideas existing within a public university. And so this maybe more than anything is the one that has me hot and bothered this week, but it's just... it's inexcusable that this is what we're doing, that we're bottling up a $300 million engineering building that'll generate thousands of good-paying jobs, additional good-paying jobs in the next decade because of a few million spent on a few, you know, programs that promote inclusion. What are we doing here?
Well, what we're doing here is asking, since this was probably some of the last floor votes that the legislature will take until sometime early next year, can it still get done early next year, or will Republicans manage to punt this all the way till the next budget cycle? And we don't know.
I mean, why would they do it then?
Yeah.
But, you know, Robin Voss says, I don't want to do this. I'm going to throw a temper tantrum, and so we're not going to do it.
All right, last one. Pat Murphy, up or down on choosing him as the Brewers' next skipper?
Great. Excited for Pat. Nice to see him get an opportunity. And really, the Brewers did not play this one particularly well. I'm going to be disappointed for a little while in how this all shook out.
See, that's another one of these bipartisan, doesn't matter what your party is. You're either on team council or team Adonasio or team blame council, team blame Adonasio. And
I'm blaming Adonasio before I'm blaming council on this one.
Mm-hmm. And I think to Pat Murphy, I hope that he is a stabilizing force, shall we say, for the team coming up. Yep. And I'm not asking about the Bucks. I'm keeping everybody at their word that we'll wait a few more games into things and then we'll compare.
But you have the receipts. I sent you receipts. That's, so in 20 more games, there will be receipts.
Yes, you too. Joe Zepecki, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. So Joe's got opinions on sports here to the point where, Greg, I'm already talking about pre-recording or setting up some end of the year shows for that week between Christmas and New Year's, maybe. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm going to get Joe in here. Maybe we can get Mr. Schaefer in here from the Recombobulation area, people who normally talk about news, but we just get to turn on your inner sports talk freak for a segment.
Honestly, if you do that, you can just be like, all right, guys, talk.
Talk. As we covered a few minutes ago, there's a lot to talk about this year.
Oh, absolutely. We had him on As Goes Wisconsin early this week, and we didn't get into it, but we got back and forth. I had to actually shush him at one point because he started in trouble. I'm like, I'm not done. I am not. I am not finished talking.
Speaking of Asgos, Wisconsin,
yes, sir.
10 to noon on many, if not all, of the Civic Media Radio Network stations. I was pleased to be on there last week Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm not scheduled to be there today, right? I'm sure I'm not, because that would explain why last week I was having a panic attack going, I think I'm supposed to be on. As I look at today's calendar, it says I'm supposed to be on Asgos, Wisconsin. So clearly when Jane asked me,
yeah,
I put it under the wrong date.
Okay, all right, because so, I don't think you are on.
No, so. I'm sure I'm not, but now I understand why. I was like, where is this? Why isn't this on my calendar? So that'll be a lesson to me. Today's history lesson is coming up after this break. You're up north. Wish I had you
there to home. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
All right, check this out, Kristen Lyerly.
Okay.
Roger did not beat me to the punch this time. Here's John Lennon's Whatever Gets You Through the Night, hit number one this day in 1974. Roger often puts on Facebook some other little music factoid, and I think I've missed most of them. He finds these little things. He puts up today, John Lennon's Whatever Gets You Through the Night reaches number one. Lennon became the last of the former Beatles to have a number one hit after they disbanded. I had it, Roger. I had that one today.
All right, Pat.
He was channeling his inner John Oliver there. Did you hear that?
A little. Yeah. Well, I'm going to get to him in just a moment. I've got that note here on the Puteki Teki. I haven't forgotten that either. Here's the reason why John was last. He was rather withdrawn at that point, post-Beatles. Elton John, who you heard there singing the track, had bet John Lennon that if John Lennon helped him on the song here, it would hit number one. Lennon said no. He lost the bet. And so Elton John made him come up on stage at Madison Square Garden on November 28th of 1974 to a manic ovation.
Oh, my God.
That is the rest of the story.
Nice. Nice.
Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, everybody. Joe Zepecki gets me so fired up.
I think we all return the favor. I think we're all good for each other that way. And yes, Joe was definitely fired up and ready to go here. And, you know, before I forget, we talked about Asgos, Wisconsin just before the break here. So let's bring it up again. Are you on today with Greg and Jane and folks?
I sure am. We're talking about bladder health.
All right.
I will not be on the show today. So you just get Jane and Carol.
Come on, Greg.
I mean, this is,
you can participate today. You have a bladder.
How do you know? You don't know me.
I'm guessing.
Let's stay with the Beatles theme. It was on this day in 2010.
Let's move on.
For the first time, the Beatles' music was available for digital download as iTunes added the group's catalog so you could download tunes like this.
Just a good song.
Love this one.
Anytime I'm like, I just need to listen to something, it's the Beatles. Yep. I just always default to the Beatles.
And then a personal aside on this one, Day Tripper was also my dad's CB radio handle. Remember when CB radios?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day? Because almost every day he had to make the trip between Eau Claire and St. Paul because he worked for the railroad. And sometimes he had to travel to one end of the line or the other. So Day Tripper was his... So he picked a Beatles song. Good job, Dad.
Your dad was cool.
He was. Totally was.
What was your handle, Pat?
I did not have CB radio. I had a Fisher-Price CB radio back then. So I was like 9 years old.
Breaker, breaker. This is Word Nerd. Word Nerd coming in. Anyone hear me?
Actually, my teachers would have loved that.
Nailed it.
Yep. Pete Davidson has a birthday today. If you had taken a bet that Pete Davidson wasn't going to make it to 30, you lost. He's made it.
Love Pete Davidson so much. Love him.
Number one song this day in 1985 was by Starship.
We built this city.
Yeah, don't say you weren't warned.
We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
Some people.
Hugh Gregg with the fist pumps down in the Brady Bunch corner.
Some people, starting with Blender Magazine many years ago, rated this the worst song of all time.
Oh, that's such bunk.
Which was so wrong, because that could never be true as long as Sister Christian by Night Ranger is still floating around out there.
I have a feeling
when
that
I was in high school, that song was out, and people used to call me Sister Christian.
Oh, I get it. I see what you did there. Yeah.
I have a fun factoid about this that you, Dr. Lyley, and Roger Frost don't know about this song.
Oh.
Ooh.
A city built on rock and roll, unstructurally sound. Fact.
Roger, what say you?
Yeah. Oh, look what Roger's got. Roger's got, you forgot C.W. McCall's birthday yesterday.
Oh, God, oh, Roger.
Did I? I guess I did. Maybe I did.
Get your own radio show, Roger.
I know why. No, I love when Roger does this. I know why. Because recently was the anniversary of Convoy hitting number one on whatever year that was. So we'd already played it not that long ago. So I should have mentioned his birthday, but I didn't put up the song. Pop group Milli Vanilli stripped of their Grammy Award this day in 1990. Because it turned out they did not sing on the Girl You Know It's True album. It was all session musicians who provided all the vocals. Do we all feel like we lost our innocence a little bit this day in 1990?
No.
Like what's real?
I can't tell. 12, if so.
Okay, never mind. Moving on.
I heard there's a documentary coming out. If it's not out already.
It's out already, excited. And I hear it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, what's it on?
I think it's on Hulu.
On the Hulu.
On the Hulu.
All right. For this next one, again, anybody of a certain age, feel free to sing along, because 48 years ago today, this day in 1975, a variety show debuted on ABC. Not just any variety show, but a variety show with two of America's sweethearts.
Oh, there we go.
I have to unmute it.
Oh, I for sure watched this one faithfully.
Oh, Marie Osmond.
And the ice skating.
You loved it. I love the ice rink. Yeah, on the stage. It was really interesting. Donnie and Marie premiered this day in 1975. I sent that clip and this next one to my sister. My younger sister was enthralled with Donnie and Marie, and that's why Donnie and Marie was the first concert I actually went to, because I was dragged along because she wanted to see them. You know, they were at the State Fair 1 year. So, and of course, not only is this the anniversary of the show starting, but this is the anniversary of one of their shows ending. It was on this day in 2019 that they played their last show at the Flamingo in Las Vegas, where they'd started their residency 11 years earlier. And so after 1,730 performances, I'm guessing that this was their closing tune.
May tomorrow be a perfect day.
May you find love.
Yeah, I always found this part of the show to be boring.
Oh,
like, bring on the ice skating.
Marie dressed as Dorothy. Good Lord. Yeah. I got the vapors.
Do you remember how many variety shows there were back then?
Oh, my gosh.
And Sonny and Cher and Bobby Vinton. And, like, everybody had a variety show.
Yeah,
Smothers Brothers.
It was great. You saw the wide range of entertainers, how you could be exposed to things you might not normally listen to.
It was like the reality TV of the day.
But way better.
We'll get to the many national days today coming up after the news. Kristen, a quick note on hometown health, childhood vaccinations, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you want to know?
That the percentage might be low, like troublingly low, too many exemptions. Yeah. So we'll talk.
Well, Wisconsin has too many exemptions. So we're going to talk with a Wisconsin pediatrician about how we can do better.
There you go. That's coming up right after the news here on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning. Back in just a bit.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 ADP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.